Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of the Brown Briefly. Together, we the Brieflies keep Brian's creative flame alive by bringing to you every week another episode of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Let me introduce the Brieflies and our guest, the engineer today, as always, behind the big board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon is our intrepid retired Alaska Airline captain and my fellow treetop flyer, Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. Good morning. Boy, I got the whole studio full today. That's great.
It is always nice. Yeah, yeah, it's great when we got a bunch
of people.
See these
smiley faces.
Especially when we have good people here.
Indeed.
As opposed to bad people.
yeah, which we often have.
That's right. Also present in the studio today is the newest member of the Brieflies, our very own fixer of ferry service, Amy Dreher.
Good morning, and I like to see that fixer in air quotes.
That's right. What kind of fixer are you? Let's see here. Kevin is not with us today. He's somewhere on a sailboat, I think up in the Canadian San Juans or thereabouts. He does try to check in when he can, but I guess he didn't have access. Go ahead, Bruce. Oh, I thought you were going to add right to that.
You're going to introduce me.
Okay, I am. Also zooming in, he's not zooming in. Also here present for a change here on Vachon is historian extraordinaire Bruce Hallman. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, good morning. And let me clarify. Kevin does not have a sailboat. He's got a powerboat.
You guys are very specific about it.
We are not rag pickers. We're stink potters. We are stink potters, right?
Putt putters.
That's right. Well, I like it because you just turn the key and go.
You're supposed to be able to turn the key and go.
That's true. Some of us have.
Oftentimes, it's not the case. Yeah,
some of us have a little different issue there.
Hey, joining us today are Jim Farrell and Emily Burns on behalf of Stupid Bike Night. So how are you two today?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, doing pretty well. It's pretty gorgeous outside.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I hope it's this way all the way up until, what is it, the first Friday in September?
Well, it could rain a little bit to protect us from the 4th of July.
It could. I was looking at, some old videos that I took of Stupid Bike Night from about 8 years ago or so, and it was wet. Mm-mm. It was really wet out. But everybody's still having a great time. I think the flames coming out of some of the bikes caused it to rain even more. Lit up the clouds. As per our usual practice, let's take a moment and check in with everybody. Oh, by the way,
I am
former tow truck driver and body man Craig Bellis.
And by body man, he does mean he worked on cars, not bodies. Yeah.
I thought I'd leave that ambiguous.
Yeah, right. Okay.
All right, back to our usual practice. Let's take a moment to check in with everybody about what special or ordinary things they did this past week. Amy.
Ooh, all right, coming right up. Well, I don't know why I put my glasses on to do this, but I'm just used to that
official.
Now. Yeah, glasses on, glasses off. I'm at that age. No, I had a great Vachon story on Wednesday. I dropped a new battery in my truck on Monday, and it fired up and ran around like a champ for a couple days. And then Wednesday, I drove it up to the country store to get my mail, and came back out and nothing. Actually, the click was just for effect. It didn't even do anything. So called Engels, and they came and got it, but they weren't sure when. So the country store was gracious enough to say, hey, you can leave it here until they come get it, and which I was excited to do only on Vachon with the windows wide open, right? Yeah. And the key in it. And then was got a lift from my friend Sharon at the Eagles because it was my night to cook burgers at the Eagles because I do In-N-Out burgers once a month at the Eagles. So I drowned my sorrows in cheeseburgers up at the Eagles and then got a ride home. And now my poor little Toyota is still sitting at Ingles, but I have borrowed a friend's car, which I think, Craig, I don't know if you can tell me whether or not it is a classic. It's a 1995 Ford Ranger Flareside. Is it yet a classic car?
No, but I think that is an up and coming classic.
Is it? I was like, as I got out, I was like, you know, I bet in a few years, yeah. Polish this guy up. You don't even have to lower it. Like, you know, it's already like no clearance. So, yeah. So I had a real Wednesday, a real Vash on Wednesday last week.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I wonder, I'll be curious to find out what the problem is there with what is your truck?
It's a 2017 Toyota Tacoma.
Oh, that shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, no, with a brand new battery and everything. So it's got to be like a cable or the alternator or the starter. I mean, just...
That's what, it could be one of about 30 things.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, but fingers crossed there that the sleuths at Ingles can solve it right up.
Yeah, it's all right. We'll be sending good vibes that way. Bruce, how about you? What did you do this week?
Well, just a normal Vashon week. Not as exciting as Amy's by any means, but we actually had three people in our family have June birthdays. So we had a combined birthday party. So we had seven grandkids and eight kids and Pam and I in our tiny little house. But it was a blast, so we had a good time. Celebrated Shelby's birthday, who is, her birthday is in 2 days, I think. And then Parker, our grandson's birthday, was the day before on Saturday. And mine's the end of the week. So,
happy
it's
birthday.
Sort of like, it's coming up,
And I don't be 45?
Yeah, right. Double that.
Yeah. Oh, not quite.
Yeah, almost.
It's getting closer.
Yeah. Wow, I'm surprised you didn't mention the Historical Society.
Well, that's coming later.
Right? Okay,
lots of work. You know, we open on July 5th, which is about a week from Friday.
Ooh.
And so we're down to the what they call the short strokes. It's sort of like, man, it's gotta happen in the next 4 or 5 days or it ain't happening. So, but it's coming together. It's
great.
They just installed all the panels today, and it looks spectacular.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Great.
That'll be a party. Truman.
Well, of course, I'll have to steal a little of your thunder because you and I parked cars on Sunday. That was fun.
We were parking, positioning officers.
That indeed. We even had radios that we could communicate back and forth.
We didn't have weapons, though.
No, they didn't let us have our 45s turn.
A stick, maybe, to tell some of these people to park where they need.
Oh, boy. You know, I mean, folks are really nice, but man, oh, man, they could park for... You know, trying to get stuff like, here's a guy pulls in. There's two big parking spaces there, and they pull in, and it takes up, you know, one and a half of them. It's like, come on, man, back that thing up and get back in. No, we just let them do it. You know, what the heck? But the other thing is, this week, I got a new TV. You know, the House of the Dragon, you know, is on. And I saw one episode, and I said, I need a new TV. And so... That's what was the impetus for my...
Wow, you want to really be set up.
So how big is it?
It's big. It takes up the whole corner of my house. 65-inch, man. Oh,
I'm going to come over to your house and watch the
talk. Oh, man, it's like going to drive-in theater. You know, I mean, it's pretty cool. I was really pleased with it. And got a good deal on it to boot. So there you go.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
And then have my daughter help me install it because... Threw my back out trying to lift the darn thing. Whoa. Anyway, that's what I did.
How did that go with your daughter and you working to put
We do pretty well, actually.
That's good.
Yeah, except that I get all hot and I drip sweat on her. Boo, she doesn't like that at all. Really makes her mad.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
That's funny. Emily, what have you been up to this last week?
Well, a lot of birthdays, but can ask you all, did anybody see the moon this week?
Oh, yeah. Strawberry.
Oh, my goodness. I went to a birthday party on Thursday, and I was driving from the Palouse Winery, and my jaw dropped when I came around the corner. This giant ball in the sky, and I had to pull over to the side of the road. It was really impressive.
It was.
And then there was another birthday with a lot of dancing on Friday where I think I saw you.
Yeah.
I think we might have even danced together and ate some cake. I got over-socialized. we had our garden tour. Yeah. That was really fun. Solstice party, Latvian solstice party. A lot of beautiful socialization, but I think by Sunday I needed some forest bathing.
Some
personal time to decompress. Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was. Oh, the weather was so fit. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. That whole period of time. Jim, how about you? What have you been up to?
I had a birthday this week.
Oh, no, great. No. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And I also went to see Mary Poppins, the Vashon Dance Academy.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter played Mary Poppins.
Wow.
So that was very exciting.
Oh, it runs in the family.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm an amazing ballet dancer. I'm much more graceful than I look or act.
That's funny.
How about you, Craig?
Well, I had you already talked about us working at the garden tour, but I had a great week. Went to a Scotch tasting at our friend Mr. Witt, who we've had on the show on occasion. He just got back from Scotland and brought home some wonderful scotch that he shared with me and a few other people. Then went to the Black Cat. I went to that party on that birthday party, but I also went to the Black Cat for the cabaret and the burlesque. That was a lot of fun. Left there with a big grin on my face. And then right after the parking that we did on Sunday, my daughter and granddaughter came. And they've been with us, and they were just about to leave as I came here to the studio. And we had a great time. We went to, did all of the Vashon stuff. And, of course, went out to the Troll and all of those things. But we had a wonderful time. And then the very first night that they were there at about 1 o'clock in the morning, we heard a huge crack and the lights all went off and a big tree fell down on Robinwood Road and took out about 9 or 10 houses worth of electricity. So we had to deal with that for a little while. Back in the old days, you were considered a wimp if you had a generator.
Yeah, that's right.
But I gave in during that winter when we had, 10, 11 days of no electricity.
Yeah.
I thought, this is getting to be a little ridiculous. There was snow on the ground. So I know I had a wonderful week, just an absolutely wonderful week. All right. I think I got everybody, did I?
Yeah.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Today is a significant day, as are all days. It's 10 days until the Heritage Museum reopens on July 5th, and it's 24 days until the start of Strawberry Festival on July 19th. That should be good. And on this day, in 1835, the first building constructed at Yerba Buena, which was the name of San Francisco before it was San Francisco. I found it curious. The population in 1835 was about 24. And then in 1849, of course, when the gold rush just began, it went from a couple dozen to 1,000. And by 1856, it went to 50,000. It was one of the fastest growing big cities in the world. It was quite extraordinary. And then in 1876, we had the Battle of Little Bighorn, where the 7th Cavalry under Brevet, Major General George Armstrong Custer was wiped out by Sioux and Cheyenne warriors led by Chiefs Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull. Still a wonderful place. Lynette goes there. My wife goes there and participates in the recreation and cares for the horses and that sort of thing.
That he left from my hometown of Miles City, Fort Keogh, on his way there. That was his last port of call, as they say.
Ah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And by the way, if you want to read a great book, Son of the Morning Star, it's about, it gives you a whole history of Custer.
Yeah.
Really interesting book.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And if you haven't visited there, it's just a wonderful place. Yeah. It's kind of mystical.
Mm-hmm.
1910, the U.S. Mann Act was passed, making it illegal to transport gulls across state lines for illegal purposes. not exactly.
Yeah.
In 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that New York school prayer was unconstitutional in Engel versus Vitale, a kind of a modern topical present-day issue with the Ten Commandments now being permitted in Louisiana.
We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, not permitted, but required in all the classrooms, public school. And then finally, in 1978, the first use of the rainbow flag symbol of gay pride made by Gilbert Baker at a march in San Francisco. Today is International Day of Seafarers, Croatians Independence Day, and also Croatia Wine Day. Mm. Croatians know how to celebrate.
Yeah.
You live there on the Mediterranean, you know. That's what happens. All right, enough of this silliness. Let's move on to some other silliness. This is the issue of the stupid bike night. And we have Emily and Jim here. Want to talk to you a little bit about this. Before you tell us about Stupid Bike Night, tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you came to Vashon. People are always interested in who these people are on our show that are talking about these various subjects. Who wants to take the lead? Emily?
Go first?
Go for it, Emily.
All right. In my day life, I have the fortune of working for the Office of the Waterfront and Civic Projects, and we are rebuilding where the viaduct came down. And so that brings me a tremendous amount of joy, just seeing the spaces that we're creating for people to be and experience a new waterfront. We're taking down these psychological and these different barriers, physical barriers to accessing the water. So that's my day life. And the thing I love to do in my personal life is celebrate the arts.
Uh-huh.
I think of myself a little bit as a Jackie of all trades, master of none, and have been
You
involved.
Are at almost every event that I end up going to.
Yeah.
So
the arts bring me a tremendous amount of joy.
Yeah.
And so I've been involved with a variety of different, from constructing things and helping with engineering and structural aspects of art, to helping events happen. I work a lot as a project manager, and so I'm often that sort of task mistress that helps to think like, how do we need to get to the end of this point? What are the steps we need between A and Z or A and J?
You need those people.
Yeah.
And you're good at it. That's great.
Yeah, as long as I don't step on too many toes sometimes. Nah, I'm learning
that balance.
It's
hard to get a job done without stepping on a few toes. Yeah. Jim, how about you? What? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
What specifically do you want to know?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to know what your birth weight was, but you know, for example, what do you do? And if you want to, how did you get to Vashon?
How I got to Vashon, I was actually pushed out of a UFO due to a bad gambling debt.
Yeah.
And
just like the rest of
I washed up on Dilworth.
You're part of the Maury Island incident.
Yeah.
I made a little money off of that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then now, all seriousness aside, what else do you do?
I build a lot of things. So I work with wood and metal and other things, bicycles, and I make things.
Cool. And how is it that you came by that?
That's a good question. I guess I've always kind of tinkered around and been interested in kind of the physical stuff.
So, and you got better and better at it?
Or? Yeah. Yeah, and you acquire more tools and you try new stuff, and then YouTube came along, and now I can kind of do anything.
Anything. Absolutely anything. Mm-hmm. It is amazing how there seems to be a YouTube for the most obscure things, you know, that you're trying to work on. So, well, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see.
I've got a lot of questions. I have like a whole litany of questions. that are for the uninitiated. So just what is Stupid Bike Night?
Stupid Bike Night is a pretty short bike ride. and the bikes themselves are implausible, impractical, absurd, and would not be a commuting bike or a traveling bike. They're kind of wild.
This is why it's short.
And they're built for fun and amusement only. Not practical.
And they have various different, it's a visual spectacular sort of thing if you have not been, right? Like the bikes often do things and are made out of, what is one of the most fun bike repurposes that you have seen?
I think the screen door bike is really up there. I give props to John Kinney. He built that by himself and just kind of presented it as a finished product, and it's really kind of really one of the best bikes.
So made of all things, some with fire, some without fire, many with lights of all sorts.
You want to be seen.
Well, it happens towards dark, right? It's yes. Usually it's currently the first Friday in September, towards the evening hours. But how did it start, and was it always around that time of year?
It was always around that time of year. We had actually planned to join the Strawberry Festival the first year. And at the time that the Strawberry Festival came around, we had one bike finished. and it took the rest of the summer to get enough bikes for everybody else. And so we just went on first Friday of September, and that has just kind of stuck. There's seen no need to change it. And so that's how that got picked. It was just when we were done.
And how can, if someone would like to participate in Stupid Bike Night, how could they do that?
Just show up on the day of. It's that easy.
Don't have to submit a resume.
Not at all. You can either show up, you know, as it gets dark, or we typically pre-funk near Rose Ballin.
The last few years we've been gathering at Rose Ballin earlier in the evening and getting ready, which takes a few hours to add additional lights to the bikes or get them working. And people come and just watch and join and get ready. So it's a really fun time before we even take off.
Get your costume on.
Yeah, so you could come stupid or ready to be stupided or made stupid.
Yeah, we definitely encourage more people to join. I think some people hold back because they don't feel their bike is stupid enough, but it's better to go and ride than to stand on the sidewalk. So just bring your bike, and we have lights there, so we can at least get you lit up.
But
everyone has good ideas.
Yeah.
They can make their bike stupid.
Yeah, or you can make your person look stupid.
You can make anything look stupid. Your bike, your person. Yeah.
One thing we do ask though is these are non-motorized bikes.
Oh yeah.
These are people powered.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious. Exactly, where do you meet? For people who may not know you.
Well, that's kind of to be determined. When we first started, we started at the Seattle Distilling up by Minglement, which is, I think, Kolbos brews there now. Then we moved to Open Space for a few years. Then we started by the Chamber of Commerce. In the last few years, we've been starting near Rose Ballin.
Which is
just two blocks from here, two blocks west of here.
Granny's Attic. Two blocks west of Granny's Attic, if anybody knows where that is.
Yep.
I do, unfortunately.
And that so far has been enough space for us to gather and take over. We take a lot of space, especially nowadays with the amount of riders that we have. But we're not contractually obligated to be there. If there's another idea, that we will listen to it and we can change. We're fairly nimble.
Cool. I'm curious how long this has been going on.
Our first ride was 2014.
So 10
years. 11, 11 years.
Yeah, I think that's right. 11 years, yeah. At least that's what I've been calling it. So I was hoping that was right. And has, obviously it's grown. If the first planned one was going to go out and you only had one bike, how has it grown?
It's grown a lot. And really for a number of years, we kind of tamped down growth because we were not really able to handle it. We didn't have the human resources to handle big growth. But in the last couple of years, it's been growing ridership-wise about 50% a year. The crowd is enormous at this point. Mm-hmm. Our budget grows about 20% a year.
Hmm. Before you ask that question, I'm just curious. You do have to do quite a bit of preparation, don't you, to get this thing on the road?
Yeah. We work all summer.
Wow.
And sometimes earlier.
Yeah. last winter, we did a lot of kind of infrastructure work on our own shop. This year, we did a lot of work in the spring. So we've already been building for a month at this point, and we'll continue building bikes all summer. Okay. So Stupid Bike Night is really just the culmination of a lot of effort and building.
Wow. And if anybody saw the Polo Discovery last year.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It takes a long time to prepare for that something
was an amazing,
like that.
Because
we have to figure out how to make them stable, sure. And also how to make them lightweight enough to be, again, as
you
I mentioned, people
them.
Powered, sure. Multiple people.
But. Right. So who? I mean, is this? I hate to use the word organized, but is this thing really organized, or do people just kind of show up, or in terms of both in construction and in the ride itself?
That's a difficult question.
I thought it might be.
probably an organized disorganization.
Yeah, all right.
I try to organize and others try to disorganize.
Yeah.
The individual projects tend to attract a few people to work on them. Then there's larger things where the whole group has to come in and, you know, move
all of
30 or 40
stuff.
Bikes, yeah. You know, in a few hours. Yeah. So it's well organized in some respects, but we can't really figure out how to put recycling and garbage in garbage. We get those mixed up.
It's kind of like herding cats, as they say, right?
We have signs this year, though.
Herding cats don't want to be
for
herded.
Recycling.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, I think that begs a bigger existential question for spirited debate among our folks here. Is Stupid Bike Night the most Vashon event on Vashon?
Oh,
I'd be afraid to answer.
I mean,
that.
Disorganized yet organized.
Bikes
made out of
screen doors.
It's
got to be right up there.
Right fire.
Up there.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, it's the classic, you know, keep Vashon as weird as you possibly can.
yeah.
And it, I love it, especially when you start, and the parade goes by, or the group of bicycle riders go by, and then they turn around and they come back. And then they go back again. And I love it. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's almost like the Lake Wobegon routine. I'm thinking at some point what you're going to do is you're going to have the people go back and forth, and then you're going to switch with everybody who's on the side of the road.
Mm. Yeah.
So the people who are in the parade
get to watch the parade,
and the people who are watching the parade can get in the parade.
We did have one year where, 2019 specifically, where a lot of people got on our bikes and rode them around.
Is that a
mistake?
And
that was really fun to see totally random people zoom in by on super weird bikes.
So you're talking about a lot of construction here. I mean, aren't there costs involved in this? And who covers that cost? I mean, do you guys do it yourself, or do you?
We did for years, covered it ourselves. But as the event grown, we've had to ask for money. The budget does grow as the spectacle has grown. Hmm. So we now ask for money in a few ways. We have a musical band fundraiser. This year will be in August 3rd.
August 3rd, the barn burner. We have a live rockin' bands.
Oh, man.
We've got three bands so far. The Duration, Croaker, and Twig Flicker.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah. At Dig Deep.
At Dig Deep.
So all come right. on down. There'll be food and fun and frivolity. And
okay.
And we also we have a GoFundMe to raise money. We're trying to raise money for the next 3 years because fundraising is not really what we started this for. Like probably every nonprofit goes through that same realization that they have to spend a lot of effort raising money instead of doing what it is that they actually want to do.
And that's actually how I got involved a couple of years ago. And I had loved Stupid Bike Night, right? So I would come down with my bike and I was sort of on the periphery. And at the end, I can't remember, I think it was 2022. I was so excited and I could feel this energy and this exuberance. Okay, like what are we going to do next year? How are we going to plan for next year? And the folks who had been organizing it for a long time had a very different reaction. They were exhausted. They were financially drained. And they were really kind of questioning, how can we continue to do this without financial support? And so we had to figure out how to get a bank account and how to get a Washington nonprofit. We really didn't want to keep money in the freezer. And how do we do that without sort of affecting any one sort of individual? And so that's where we got started and said, what avenues do we have in place to get the word out about the needs that we have? Because I want to turn this question around to some of you, because I know what I felt like when I would experience Stupid Mike Gain. What do you feel like? What does it feel like to be either a participant or to be involved?
Joy.
Just joy. Absolutely. Yeah, joy. That's the word that comes to my mind right away. But I have to tell you, I never thought about the cost.
Yeah, me either. No. And so are you actually a 501c3? I mean, did you get
actually... We're a Washington nonprofit. We're not a 501c3.
So not federal, it's just Washington.
We're not federal. That's right.
Okay, cool.
So monies given are not tax deductible.
No, of course.
But yeah, we have lots of expenses. Like everything you see costs money. You know, bike chains, bike tubes, bike tires, steel, welding gas, propane. We go through a lot of propane.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Which is thrilling, by the way. Yeah. The more propane, the better.
Yeah. So it all adds up. You know, last year we collected $3,500.
Wow.
And we, you know, on top of that $3,500, we had rent and insurance, and it would be nice to have permits, stuff like that. So the actual cost is much higher and keeps going up.
So do you recommend that folks just like throw dollar bills at you as you ride down the street?
That's certainly another option.
Mm-hmm. You do pass the hat.
We do pass the hat. You know, if folks want to reach out to either Jim or I, checks, cash, you know, fantastic. We also have this GoFundMe going right now, and I'm just going to read off some of the correlators. It's GoFundMe.com/F/keep/Vashon-stupid. Keep Vashon stupid.
Could you Google that on the GoFundMe site?
I think so.
I was just going to say, is that a, you just got this up online, didn't you?
Just this weekend.
Right. Have you attempted to find it?
Yeah, it came up really right away.
What did you put in?
Vashon, keep Vashon stupid.
Keep Vashon stupid. Okay.
GoFundMe,
keep Vashon stupid. Go to the GoFundMe site and then put keep Vashon stupid.
Google and it came right up. So.
Yeah. I think that's probably what most people are going to do.
You can also find us on Facebook.
Right.
Stupid Bike Night.
And we have Venmo and PayPal. We're easy to give money to nowadays.
Well, you know, it is interesting. You asked me this question. It was the first thing that comes to mind. And Truman, we did say joy was the one of the first things. But, you know, I looked at that and it never dawned on me. Talk about stupid. It never dawned on me that this wasn't an individual kind of thing, a parallel, you know, activity on the part of all these people that love the idea that put these bikes together in their own garages and then came down here and just got in the parade. And when I learned that it was something that was organized by, I guess, some organizers, that came as a surprise. It makes an eminent sense. Otherwise, it would be a circus and not a parade.
Or we wouldn't have been able to do some of the more creative exploits. Has anybody had a hot dog off of the grill bike?
No. I have not. I wasn't sure I wanted to risk it.
I was thinking that, actually.
They are heated, you know, to
standard. 165
degrees. I used to cook meals on my engine when we used to go run across, you know, cross country. But
So I had a question about, you know, it's organized, but it's disorganized. So what if somebody wants to bring their own bike? How do they do that? Or somebody has this idea of, you know, I got this great stupid bike I want to build. Can they build it and just show up, or do they talk to you guys?
Yes.
How does that all work?
Yes.
Yeah. That happens every year, and that's actually a really fun moment for us to show up, and kind of we know what the big surprises are each year, and then we show up, and then some people are bringing in the most random, funny stuff, and so we get to see that and enjoy that too. So that is fun. But yeah, you could show up with your stupid bike and that's it.
And I think other folks have come in for consult. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that's really fun. They have an idea about what they want to create, mm-hmm. but they want to bounce things off. And that's also really fun because it you have this vision or this image of how you want to experience this evening, and then you're ready to dive in, but you may not know this technical detail or that technical detail about a bike, and that's really fun too, to help people realize their dreams.
And how do they get in touch with you? I mean, if I want to build my own stupid bike that shoots flames out the back, you know, who do I talk to?
Well, it's Stupid Bike Night on Facebook. Would be a pretty accessible
message. Yeah, way. Use the Messenger app.
I just
or clicked. Flag down someone that you've seen riding a stupid bike. Mm-hmm.
I just clicked on the website and there is a video of Stupid Bike Night, and there are just some amazing contraptions. This is wonderful.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we can't play that video on the radio.
Yes.
But,
yes, indeed.
Well, I'm just, URL
yeah,
on
I'm
the
just
radio.
Recommending people go look at it. Yeah.
But I am curious, and I should precede this question with a warning. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Is the street going to be closed?
I can't say for sure.
Okay, you're hopeful.
I am hopeful. You know, clearly if we raise enough money and we could pay for the permits and associated costs with that, then we can do that. In the past, we haven't had that much money, and we've kind of worked with the Chamber of Commerce, who closes the street on First Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So every year it's kind of different. We kind of have to reinvent how things operate each year.
You're hopeful and keep your fingers crossed and do what you can.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have a safe place for people to ride around. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people, and it's a road, and there's cars going by, and it's just really dangerous. Some people really want to get home or really get to a ferry. So having a closed area to ride around is the safest way to enjoy the evening.
I should show you the video I have from, I think it's 8 or 9 years ago, where there's a car that comes right next to the parade going in the opposite direction. They must be going, you know, it's 25 mile an hour zone. They must be going 40 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Right next to the riders going the other way because the road wasn't closed, and they were upset, you know, that they might mm-hmm. have to go around the block. Sure. But so,
you know, last year after the official, well, I guess it was the official close. I don't know, but I was parked over on the west side, and I got in my car, and here comes the parade of bikes coming around the block, you know, by Sugar Shack and all of that. And it was actually kind of more fun to watch them there than it was on the closed street, because everybody's negotiating the traffic and people are getting out of the way, you know. I found it fascinating. It was really fun.
So why do you think it's so popular? And has that popularity has grown, of course. But what is it that draws people to it?
Well, I mean, I'm really, really in it. So I think that question, I'll turn that back to you. Like, what's attractive about it to you? Like, what draws you guys to it?
Yeah. Because it is a very weird Vachon thing. I think that's a piece of it. But also, let me probe you a little bit, Jim. I mean, what got you started? Where did this idea generate from? I mean, you've been a tinkerer your whole life, right? So what tinkering got you to figure out, okay, I can take this bike and make it shoot flame out the back and, you know, and turn circles and grill hamburgers and whatever. I mean, what was that inspirational spark?
The initial spark came from Andy Royer, who had organized a pub crawl for a group of friends of ours. And he asked that we all bring dangerous or homemade vehicles. And so we pub crawled our way up Roosevelt Avenue in Seattle. And then after midnight, we raced down the hill.
Oh, my gosh.
And having built a couple of vehicles for that, and all surviving, we thought it would be fun to build some more vehicles for the Strawberry Festival. So the initial spark was kind of a crazy downhill race with where brakes were not allowed.
We do check brakes now, and we check gears. We have when I was in there, I want to use this bike, and then we have an individual that go through and look at do a safety inspection.
Yeah. You guys, I didn't realize it was quite that
organized. Not that we've completely diverted from the original mission or honoring Andy's memory.
That question about what appeals, you know, to you about it, and obviously it gives people joy, and it's weird, and people who are in the parade are having a great time, and the people who are on the side of the road are having a great time. But at another level, I love the kinetic art aspect of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moving art that's sometimes homemade, with the help of experts and that sort of thing. But I just to see the different contraptions.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that what's coming next? You know. Yeah. And you see one go by, and you go, oh, my gosh, that's got to be the best. Oh, no, here comes another. It's even better. You know, it's that kind of kind of excitement that draws me to it. Right. It's each one is better than the one before. You know, it's just amazing.
One of the things that I love about it is an all-ages event.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, all ages, right? 0 to 100. And anyone within, you know, this range, there's no limitations there. It's this giant party where we all get out there and celebrate, whether we're on bikes or not. And, being able to experience that is a form of it's almost like a nostalgia or a form of childhood and childhood creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's it like to be a child again and to think about the world that without some of those limitations that we as adults put on ourselves.
Exactly.
Are you in any way associated with The Stupid Step Out? Do you know that book?
No, I never even heard of it.
Oh, you got to look it up.
Oh, yeah.
The Stupid Step Out. There's about four different versions of it. It's considered a little politically incorrect, but it's for me, it's been sort of a philosophy of life.
check no. it out. Now, well, I have a question about, you know, all ages and everyone who participates this year. And I understand that last year, you know, the directive from aliens was very much, you know, needed to be fulfilled. And this year I saw that an owl had dropped something off about Stupid Bike Night. And so wondering if there is any sort of directive or theme that folks should think about this year.
Oh,
this is something we've talked about a lot this year. Mm-hmm. there are benefits to themes and there are drawbacks. The benefits in everyone kind of gets a way to focus their creative energy. The drawback is some people are like, well, I don't have an alien themed bike, so maybe I'll just go watch instead of ride. And we encourage those. We want those people to come, even if they're not in the theme. So we are open to a theme, and we haven't chosen or settled on one. For example, last year, the alien theme came out organically. Just a couple bikes happened to have an alien or moon theme, and so that kind of expanded from there. And typically, any theme, I think a couple years before that, there was a lot of horses. Mm-hmm. It happens by chance. And so we may yet develop a theme on purpose, and we'll spread that if that happens. But typically, it's not a planned thing. It's something we kind of find.
And then we don't want to limit people either. If I don't have an alien hat or I don't have this, maybe I can't participate. We really want to make sure it's very inclusive of anybody who wants to participate.
You said something there. You said spread the word. How do you get the word out? Is again Facebook? Is that your primary?
Yeah, but it's sparse. Don't have to really get the word out.
I'm sure.
For several years in a row, we canceled the event on purpose to keep numbers down. And at this point now, we cancel it every year. So getting the word out isn't really
necessary.
You do have a tightrope you walk there. You want to. Yeah. You have to engage in some organization, but at the same time, you don't want to become too corporate.
We didn't. Mm-hmm. Like we say in the GoFundMe, like no one in the first years were like, "I hope this really grows unsustainably, so that we could start fundraising for this."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We were at capacity with human resources on what we could put on. We have attracted new talent like Emily, and so we have a bit more capacity to grow.
Right.
We need the money to grow, but we have the community seems to really like it.
Yeah.
So as long as everything's going well, we can continue to grow and move on.
Speaking of which, do you know how many riders you had last year, or how many over time?
Well, I think last year was probably 150 or so, and then the year before maybe 100, right around there. So it had been growing, close to 50% or better than that last few years.
Wow.
And so that's kind of why we had been tamping it down.
Yeah.
So is there any concern about sort of the sort of structural side of it? Getting a road permit. Is an inspector going to show up and make sure all these bikes are street legal? That kind of stuff.
Please,
how do you navigate through that?
Who knows?
Or do you?
Who knows?
We should get an inspector.
That
was you, Jim.
They all passed then.
I think a little bit about COVID and the things that happened during COVID, what was shut down. And I wonder a little bit if having events like the Stupid Bike Night really helped to give people hope.
And
I wonder a little bit about whether that helped to encourage some of the popularity of this is something, it's an outdoor event, and it's something that I can still continue to count on. Yeah. There's a real heartwarming aspect to that.
It's nice to have whimsy again, sort of, right? I feel like for so long, whimsy sort of left our lives, and it felt like a real revival of that, right? To have these big community events that everyone can participate in, you know, that the barriers to it weren't so high that, you know, the community couldn't hold them. It really just felt like an opportunity for Vashon to express ourselves again and come out and be together. And that was really part of the joy for me last year.
Last year, for sure. Yeah. Kind of coming out from under the pandemic. It was like, oh my gosh, free at last.
Is there going to be a stupid bike presence in the Strawberry Festival parade? Or are you totally separate from that? Or how does that work?
We had a presence last year. We had a bike ride around and asked for donations, and we got $26. So
return on
if
investment,
you want to ride the bike around this year, you got it, Bruce. Take it out.
Of course, it's going to cost you $25 to do it. But
all right. I'll tell you what. We're almost running out of time here. I'm curious. Tell me one more time. When is it?
The 6th of September.
Which is the first Friday?
First Friday, September.
September. And it occurs after dark.
Yeah, but come before.
Yeah.
Exactly. Come a little bit before. Yeah, there have been things like flash mobs. There's, you know, it's First Friday. Yeah. Yeah. There's artwork to be seen. It's a fabulous evening on Vashon. Yeah. And I also want to put another plug in here to remind folks, we have an awesome party coming up on the 3rd of August, which I don't have your dates. I was very impressed. You said there's X amount of dates until Strawberry Festival. We have X amount of dates until August the 3rd, where we're going to have this barn burner event. And that's a great way to help you. Okay, one, financially support us. Two, come out and gather and have a great party and listen to some amazing bands. But three, if you are interested in getting involved, there's a ton of the, let's just call them the disorganizers there, that you can talk to with your ideas and bounce things around, or, you know, figure out how to get more involved. We're very much about the interpersonal communication. So we've got the digital side, you know, we're learning in social media. There are conflicts with that. So come and meet and talk with us personally.
And that's a Dig Deep.
Dig Deep.
On August.
And it starts at 3 o'clock, I think, 3 to 8 o'clock on August 3rd.
Okay. Great. That sounds fabulous. And then there's your GoFundMe that you can go to GoFundMe and look up. Basically, you could probably put in Stupid Bike Night or something, couldn't you?
Or Keep Vashon Stupid.
Or Keep Vashon Stupid. Or put in Stupid. I bet it comes up.
But not S-T-O-O-P-I-D-D.
Yeah, no. It's spelled correctly.
It's spelled correctly.
That's right.
Did you really spell it correctly?
I didn't, but the computer did.
Because this group
did.
Wants to be correct. Okay. Is there anything else you want to leave us with? Any other thoughts or anything that we didn't cover that you're dying to tell us?
Get your bikes ready. I've done community art for decades, and I know from past experience that the best ideas aren't usually coming from the artists. They're coming from the accountants, you know, and the house cleaners, and everybody who doesn't consider themselves an artist, and then they turn around and produce the best, most fun work. So I just encourage everybody to join the ride and make a stupid bike.
Yeah. I think I consider this to be the ultimate Keep Vashon Weird disorganized activity on the island. It's just a wonderful, wonderful event. And I want to thank
Jim 40, Farrell. 42 days.
42 days.
I just calculated. Is
that 42 days? Who is that? 42 days until Stupid Bike Night.
That's correct. Okay. Yep.
Who said that?
No, to the barn burner.
Barn burner? I haven't got that one. Okay. Stupid Bike Night.
So we're probably looking at 75 days or so till.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's 41 days to the barn burner.
There you go.
Sorry.
Got to get these things right.
Yeah, sorry.
Very important.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very, very much, Emily Burns, Jim Farrell. Great to have you here. We got, how many more minutes we got? Five minutes to solve the problems of the world?
We got about 9 minutes, actually.
While we're at...
Okay. No, six minutes, sorry.
Yeah, and please stay for the last few minutes. Don't leave unless you're in a hurry to get out of here. Bruce, I wanted to hear a little bit more about the opening of the museum again.
Well, we're opening on July 5th. We've been closed since January, and so we've been totally redoing the inside of the museum, totally redoing what we call the permanent exhibits. So before it was sort of organized thematically, you know, around communities and businesses and agriculture, that kind of thing. We've reorganized it chronologically, so it tells a sort of a story in chronological fashion.
Oh.
And it's, in fact, it's going to be spectacular. They're just putting up Friday and then yesterday and today, they've put up all the sort of wall hangings, and it looks great. I mean, it really looks good. And it's also a way of just telling a story that has some continuity to it.
Mm-hmm.
But come in on Friday. First Friday, we'll be open, I think from 5 to 7, something like that, 5 to 8. But pop by, walk through, see what you think. You'll see a lot of yourselves in there in a variety of ways. We feature Stupid Bite Night, in fact.
Right.
One of the last panels is celebrating Vashon. And one of the ways to celebrate Vashon is Stupid Bite Night. So it's very prominently sort of featured in that, along with all other kinds of things, Strawberry Festival and all that kind of stuff. Right. But, yeah, it should be interesting. The other thing that is one of my sort of pet projects working on it, we've worked with Bruce Mercer.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you've been down to the Center for the Arts and seen his installation there.
Oh, yeah.
But essentially he's drawn 5 maps of Vashon, 1750, 1890, 1920, 1960, 2000, 20. And sort of you can see how the island changes, you know, and it's amazing. And we go from like 32 ferry docks to 2 ferry docks. You know, we go from, 15 or 16 schools down to basically one school district with 3 schools in one location. And you just see how the island has changed. And so it's a large screen interactive map, and it's really very special. And Bruce Mercer's work is always incredible.
Over the top.
So yeah. July 5th at the Heritage Museum, pop in.
Ah, it sounds great. I will be
looking
there
for sure.
Which is the perfect segue to the Strawberry Festival. Amy, got any insights or announcements with regards to the Strawberry Festival?
Yeah. So what I know so far, and we are welcoming back Ben Stemmer to the chamber to coordinate Strawberry Festival this year. He coordinated it in 2022 as well. So lucky to have him doing that. And he's kind of in charge over there right now for that, as I focus on the ferries. But what I do know about festival, because we were lucky enough to have success in recruiting, is I think we have maybe 6 off-island food vendors coming. So there'll be Thai food. There'll be some like corn dogs and elote. There'll be gyros, froyo. So real fun off-island food vendors down kind of on the north side near Pandora's and over by Ober Park, where the main stage will be.
Oh, cool. That'll be great fun.
And the main stage is in the bowl.
The main stage is right there at Ober Park. And yeah, I would say food vendors kind of the number one feedback we got last year. So we worked hard to get that program back up and running. And it takes quite a bit of infrastructure for those food vendors and getting power layout. And we're working with Artisan Electric on getting our power all laid out for them. And it's going to be good. I think this year's festival is we are kind of back. Better than ever. There are some 80 plus vendors. You know, we only had about 60 last year. So the vendor program is growing again. And I think folks will be pretty happy with some of the additions.
That's great.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. With the 1 minute we have left, I'll take a quick poll. Is a presidential debate any way to pick a president?
I think it's going to be entertaining. Let's just say that.
Let's just see if Trump can complete a sentence. That'll be the real test.
Subject, noun, verb.
That's right. Well, they talk about it. Which one is going to show up? Trump's going to show up. Yeah. The controlled, calm one, which I don't think I've ever met. Or the bombastic, one.
Buffoon. The bombastic buffoon. There you go.
Although he'll be off... You know, I guess they're turning the mics off in between. That'll be very interesting. All right. For Emily Burns, Jim Farrell, Amy, Kevin, who's not with us, Bruce, Truman, and me, Craig Bellis, thank you very much for joining the Brown Briefly today. Next week, Bruce, our guest will be?
We're going to have Greta Stimson, who is a new executive director at the Heritage Museum, and Elsa Kronquist, who is the past executive director. We'll be talking about opening the museum on the Friday after the Tuesday show.
Oh, that'll be great.
Excellent.
Until then, please enjoy all life has to offer, more or less. Talk to you next week.